All right, welcome to It's 502 Somewhere, a show where we talk to the people that make up the culture and identity of the city of Louisville. I'm your host, Andrew Crum, and I am especially excited for today's guest. You may have heard him as he was the public address announcer of Louisville City Football Club for a decade, along with Racing Louisville FC, and he is the current public address announcer for the University of Louisville men's basketball team. Current voice you hear at the KFC Yum Center for the Louisville men's basketball team, Lance McGarvey. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Andrew, and thank you for that introduction. That's nice. That, you know, I had some wonderful years at Louisville City, and this is my first year not to be the PA announcer there and not be involved. I also hosted Soccer City Radio for them for 6 years, and it was a blast, man. I mean, it just watching that team kind of originate from nowhere to become what it is today and being a little bit of a part of it and having a pretty much a close-up view. It was actually a fantastic ride, and it just, there comes a time when it's time to say goodbye, but just talking about that, man, it just brings back so many memories as you were talking about being the PA announcer for them, and of course Racing for the first 2 years they were in existence. But man, that's a lot of games to do all summer long. You know, that's a long season. That season starts in March and doesn't, for Louisville City, it doesn't end until mid or late November. So
You really forget that, and then you're like, oh, it's the playoffs, it's late November, it's 20 degrees outside. Yeah. So it really...
We had some cold games. Well, listen, thanks a lot for having me on tonight, too. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to chat with you. We've never met before, so this will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this will be a lot of fun, and we'll jump right into it. First question, just if you could tell us a little bit about your upbringing, where you're from initially, and a little bit of your background, maybe outside of your PA work.
Well, sure. I mean, my dad was a pastor, a Protestant pastor, and actually went to Southern Baptist Seminary here in Louisville. So I was here from 3 to 7, and you know, have a lot of memories from that time. We moved to Owensboro. He took a church there. I was there until I was 18, and then when I graduated high school, which I went to Apollo High School, and decided I wanted to come back to Louisville and went to U of L. And I didn't know how long I would be here, but graduated from U of L and met a good Louisville girl along the way, and still here and never planned to leave. I love this city a whole lot. It's been really good to me, and I consider myself a Louisvillian. I did grow up in Owensboro from the time I was in the second grade to being a senior, but I came to Louisville a lot. I mean, it wasn't like we were that far away. And so I've always kind of considered myself a Louisvillian, but certainly now after living here for coming close to 40 years, I hate to age myself, but man, that's what it is.
I think you're a Louisvillian. How far is Owensboro exactly?
It's about an hour and 45-minute drive at the most, you know, on the Ohio River.
Yeah,
exactly.
So when you were growing up, did you always have, maybe not even necessarily Louisville sports, I think, as I would assume as you're in college getting, you know, all involved in that, did you always have that love, or was sports announcing ever really a dream for you in those early years?
Well, in Owensboro, Kentucky Wesleyan, pretty much, you know, they were at that time very dominant in Division II basketball. And the city, you know, got to remember, this is before cable. So you couldn't just see college basketball whenever you wanted to on ESPN or whatever. You were lucky to get a Louisville or a UK game on television, almost never a Louisville game. And so Kentucky Wesleyan was our collegiate team. And for me, you know, Mike Polio came in 1980 to Kentucky Wesleyan as the head coach, and he quickly built a very powerful team. They dragged a little bit in the late 70s. I could throw a lot of names out there at you that people my age certainly would recognize, but your age might not. But he built something really special there in the 80s, and it was a lot of fun. I was a ball boy for the team, went to every game, was like, you know, I mean, they would pack that sports center. And I mean, while the crowd was only 5,000 people, I mean, they were vicious. They were very, very passionate basketball fans, to say the least. And the guy that was the PA announcer there was named Glenn Young. And Mr. Young was the announcer for Kentucky Wesleyan for like 58 years. I'm not making that up. That's how long he did it. So I always thought, I got a kick when I was a kid out of the way that he would say names. There was a player back in the late 70s named Bunky Lewis, you know, when I was a little kid. and he'd say, Bunky Lewis, you know, and so I would get real excited about that. I never thought about being an announcer at that level, at that age. But as I grew older, you know, I thought, what am I going to do with my life? I actually went to U of L and majored in, I was majoring in business, and I just wasn't having fun in school. So I changed my major to communications, and I made a pact with a great friend of mine, Dwight Witten, who's on 840 WHAS now from 9 to noon every morning with Tony Bonetti. And Dwight and I actually made a pact together that we were going to pursue opportunities in broadcasting. And so I changed my major to communication, thinking that, you know, maybe I could somehow figure out a way to get into sports broadcasting or whatever that might be. And Dwight immediately jumped in and made friends over at WQMF, the rock channel. In those days was an independent station. And he got started in his career and has done phenomenal. That dream kind of faded because about that time, you know, I met my wife, then girlfriend, and we started making plans to get married and have a family. And it just wasn't going to be a good lifestyle for me to go that route. And there were some other things that happened that I really kind of just had to change my direction. So I finished up like with marketing and public relations and that kind of thing. And so that kind of propelled me to finish my degree there, but it wasn't really a focus on broadcasting. So I kind of gave up that dream and I wasn't keeping my end of the deal. But in about 2003, there's a whole background story to all that. I won't go into too deep, but I wound up going over to St. Francis of Assisi right here in the Highlands on Bardstown Road. And they asked me to be their PA guy. I'd never announced anything in my life. And I did their basketball tournament, which is kind of a big deal for them, certainly back in those days. And it was a blast, man. I had a great time. People were very complimentary. I did that for like 15 years. It led from one thing to another. So to say that I dreamed about it, no, I didn't dream about it. I thought it would be really cool. And then when it was an opportunity for me to kind of scratch an itch, just one thing just kind of led to another. You know, the Louisville City thing came about. I was in the right place at the right time and met the right person. Wasn't really looking for that opportunity at all. I never kicked a soccer ball in my life, Andrew. I didn't know anything about it. Matter of fact, when he asked me to be their PA guy, I made fun of it and said, no, you're not going to make it a year. I was really arrogant, really awful. But then I asked him, where will you be playing your games? And he said, we're going to be at Slugger Field. And I thought, whoa, I thought he was going to say like some high school somewhere in town, you know. And when he said Slugger Field, I thought, well, that's pretty credible. And I'm just narcissistic enough to want to hear myself talk there at Slugger Field. So I agreed to do it. And I'm really glad that I did, because I didn't think they would last. Honestly, I didn't think it'd last a year. But that first game, because we had lots of soccer, you know, minor league soccer and indoor football. And it wasn't very promising if looking at it from my perspective. But when I showed up that first game in March in 2015, and it was a cold day, you know, we were talking about the cold weather and all that earlier, there were 6,500 people there for the very first game. And they were excited, man. I mean, they were jumping out of their skin for this. And I thought, well, how could they be this excited over something like this? They don't even know anything about this team. They're just getting to know. They were just excited and passionate about the sport and about the ability to go and watch it live. And so that hooked me, man. And then after that, it just things kind of took off from there.
Yeah, and you honestly kind of just answered a bunch of my follow-through questions.
I'm so sorry.
You're great, because I think that, I mean, there's no better way to put it than in your own words. Going back slightly, what was your first experience ever like doing, because I know you said you're at St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
What was that first one? Because I've read a little bit into your history and background as well. It said that you had some struggles with public speaking, or had some hesitations with public speaking.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct. Yeah. So what was that first experience like? Because as somebody, I've gotten better at public speaking over the years, but that first leap, what was that experience like?
I'm still terrified. I mean, it's tough for me even to do this podcast, frankly, because I feel very uncomfortable just having a camera and all that. Yeah. So my dad passed away in 2003. In January, and I had three small kids at the time, and people had said, Lance, we think you'd be fun if you did this announcing, because I would mess around and just do things, you know, just with my voice, little tricks or whatever. And like, you know, now batting for the Cubs, right fielder, Sammy Sosa. And I would just go off and do that kind of stuff. Well, it was just a trick that I had, right? And so they would say, hey, why don't you do our basketball games? And I was like, man, no way, because people are going to laugh at me. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how you keep up with all that. And when my father passed away at a very young age, you know, it really hit me that life's too short. I have three kids. I need to overcome this fear somehow in some way so that I can prove to them that, you know, if it's something that you think would be fun to do, that you can't let fear deter you. You can't let fear stop you from doing something like that. And look what's happened. I mean, it led to some of the most unbelievable memories of my life at Louisville City. And I mean, it's that to be the U of L PA guy at the Yum Center for men's basketball is like, that's the holy grail to me, man. That's like, it's unfathomable that it even opened up, let alone that I had the opportunity to do it. So I would just encourage anyone, man, if you have fear that's holding you back, if you're afraid to launch a business, if you're afraid to do whatever, don't be stupid, but also do it within reason. But don't let fear be the reason that you don't do whatever it is that you want to do, you know. Too many people let that cause them to miss out on dreams, and I certainly would have. I mean, there are days when I go into the Yum Center now and, you know, I know there'll be 18,000 people, you know, and I get a little antsy, man. I'm like, man, why do I torture myself like this? Why do I allow myself to go through this? And then, man, as soon as I hear the roar of the crowd and we get going, it's unbelievable. It's like a high that I can't even describe, man. It's unreal. So I'm really thankful that I overcame that fear. And I point that out to my kids all the time. Like if they tell me something they want to try and they're all grown adults now, but I said, man, don't be afraid to succeed. Don't be afraid of that. It's a good thing. It's beautiful.
I think those are great words. And I think that can apply really to anything, whether it's public speaking, PA announcing, or whether you're starting a business, whether you're wanting to start running, like anything that can really be applied to anything.
Anything.
So in your work at Louisville FC, you kind of talked about how you were jumping in it at its infancy and those Louisville Slugger Field days. I remember those days. Loved those games. How did you see not only the team grow, but the fan base, and also importantly, yourself and your role as you yourself grew with the team?
That's a really good question. I would tell you that obviously the team started out, I mean, they were red hot right out of the gate. I mean, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals in their initial year, and then subsequently every year until last year. And within the first 4 years, had won two championships. They started off, they built a team to win right away. And watching, you know, certainly the facilities go from being on a minor league baseball field. And Slugger Field's awesome. I didn't mean that with any shade at all. But it was a temporary pitch. The surface often was not very good in half the field. And they did the best they could, but that was the reality. But watching them evolve from that and then have a soccer-specific stadium that's certainly the elite stadium in the entire USL, and then one of the best stadiums, you know, around relative to soccer. It's beautiful. It's amazing to watch. As far as the fans have changed because when they first came in, it was a lot of just soccer starved, you know, craving live soccer and having something to believe in. And they came and they dressed up in the costumes and they did all that fun stuff. And that cosplay or whatever. And you'd have Batman and Spider-Man and Kings. And it was just amazing. I mean, it was so much fun. As they evolved over into the new stadium, you know, some of those folks that had been doing that for 5 years were now having kids and realized, hey, we've been season ticket holders since the beginning. We've got an opportunity to lock in some really good seats here at Lynn Family Stadium. And so they took advantage of that opportunity. So, and there were a lot of other factors that kind of, I would say, just dissolved a little bit of that, a lot of that passionate fan base, the Coopers or whatever. They still have them. The Coopers are there, Scouse's House. There are lots of those groups, smaller groups. But that's evolved, and it's changed. In some ways, I wish it was like it used to be because that was incredible. Man, they were so fun and so funny, and I enjoyed it. And they embraced me right out of the gate, and I just openly said, I don't know anything about what's going on the field. But this sure as hell is fun, and I'm having a great time. and they loved it, man. And it was we had a great relationship working with the fans. Answering a question about myself, I will tell you that those fans came from a lot of different backgrounds than what I was typically from. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of opportunities. I hadn't taken advantage of opportunities to meet some of the folks that I met throughout the soccer years, if I'm making any sense. My world got much broader by meeting so many different people. I mean, international folks, all different walks of life, different beliefs, different things, a lot of different structured lives than what I was used to and who I hung out with. So I'm really grateful for that. They made me, honestly, I can tell you, made me a better person, made me a more compassionate person. And I'm very thankful for it. I mean, I was exposed to so many wonderful people that I would have never had a chance to meet. And it really has made my world a better place.
Yeah. And what did you say?
Just a lot of personal growth.
Yeah. And you know, what was most difficult for you as you were, after all of these experiences, changes, not only that you've seen in the city and the fan base, but yourself, what was most difficult about making that final step away from the team?
Oh, to finally hang it up. That was really hard. Cause I mean, when you're there with something like that, from day one, and I had so many stories to tell and so much fun and was still having fun. It just came to a point where I missed so many birthday parties, weddings, anniversaries, vacations. I took a vacation to Outer Banks a couple weeks ago, and had all three of my adult kids, my son Tate and his wife, and my wife, and it was wonderful for us to be there together in a house and do whatever. I would have had to cut that vacation short because they had a game on Saturday one weekend and Saturday the other weekend, or I wouldn't have been able to plan it at all. My 25th wedding anniversary, Louisville City had a home game. You know, my wife was understanding and said, no, go do the game. You know, we can celebrate another night. 25th, you know, that's a big one. So after all of that, I just thought that it really wasn't fair anymore to do that to my wife, to my kids, and to myself, frankly, because I missed a lot of fun stuff. And this whole summer, I mean, I've been to three games, and I've loved all that, and I love being with the fans and stuff, having the cold beer. That's a different experience for me, certainly, watching a Louisville City game. But I've been to a lot of concerts this year. I've done a lot of cool stuff that I didn't have to say, let me check my calendar and see what I got going on, because my calendar is open during the summer. And that's what it's all about. And I've had a blast doing it, and I miss it. And when I go, it's like, damn, man, I'd love to be up there and being a part of that, because there's a lot of great people that work up there, and I've made a lot of friends over the years. But it's a good thing. It really is a good thing. And a lot of people thought that I was also retiring from all PA announcing. Let me just tell you this. They'll have to pry that microphone out of my dead kung fu grip, dude, at UofL. I can't imagine a day when I walk away from that willingly. I'd like to say that I have 20 more years left in me. I think I do. So, good Lord willing, I will be here.
Yeah. And as we shifted over to Louisville, what was the process like for that role? What did it mean to you to finally step into those shoes?
Well, as you're asking about the process of how did that all come to be?
Yeah.
So they just put out a notification when Sean Moth retired from PA announcing, and I think in August of 2020, so about 5 years ago now, they just sent out communication. We're looking for a new PA guy. At first, it was trying out for football, and there was a lot of conversation about whether I would try out for football, and the answer was no, because I was so committed to Louisville City, you know, and I couldn't – that would overlap too much, and it does. There are a lot of home games that they both share that I wouldn't have been able to do. And so I didn't even submit any kind of – they wanted you to send in a sound clip via email, just reading on whatever microphone, your phone, whatever, and send it to them so they can get an idea, sent you a little bit of a script. And so I asked if would that preclude me from being able to try out for basketball, and they said no. We're actually going to have – probably different announcers for all the different sports, which I thought at the time was really smart. You know, it's COVID during that time. So they, you know, they didn't want to put all their eggs in one basket, and it made a lot of sense. So if you were going to hire, you know, freelance people as general contract, you didn't want to have a person get burnt out who's working a 40-hour, 50-hour a week job and having to come and do all the games that they have available, right? So that was a smart move on their part. I would have loved to do, you know, I'd love to do football. I'd love to do women's basketball, volleyball. It'd be awesome to do all that, but I just don't have the time available to do all of it. So I submitted my vocal track by email. They contacted me, said, hey, you know, we've had so many people that have submitted interest in this, but we're going to pick five, I think, people to come and do an audition, a game in November that, you know, they can do. So they gave me a women's game on the same day as a men's game, and then a third game, which happened to actually that third game got canceled due to COVID. That was the Wade Houston Classic. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Back in 2020, they did a special deal there. There was a team that tested positive for COVID on that day, and so that third day was canceled. And I, at their game that day, and I'll tell you, man, I was exhausted. After doing the women's game and the men's game, I was absolutely just totally toast. They called me up. I didn't know. They said, well, we'll get back in touch, you know. They called me up a month later and said, would you be open to do the UK U of L game? Men's basketball. Mm. I'm like, what? Like, that would be my first. And like, they said, don't say anything to anybody. And so I had to ask. I mean, I said, well, the fact that you're giving me this game tells me that, you know, you believe that we're going to be moving forward on this deal. And she said, yeah, but that's not official because we still have one more person whose game got canceled due to COVID. So they got to get their opportunity. And I said, okay. Fortunately, that all worked out. But man, if you go back and listen to that Kentucky game, I was out of my mind, dude. I was, first of all, there were only 3,000 people in the entire arena because of the attendance restrictions. And I just got to pinch myself. I was like, am I really here? That's Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats, and they're playing. And like, what the heck, what planet am I on? But I was stoked, and I was out of control. And thankfully, they had faith in me to kind of rein it back in and be good.
Yeah, and that was a game that, I mean, ended at the last – that was like a last second.
Yeah. You know,
Kentucky had an opportunity in the corner.
Yeah,
we cards won. Win. Yeah. Go Cards.
Yeah, go.
But so that's a hell of a one to start on. And, you know, as you went through it, as you said, you were following up Sean Moth. Did you ever talk to him as you were getting into that role? And did you get any – what potential insight did you get with
not
him?
Not initially. Yeah, not initially. I'd never met Sean. Was a huge fan. Matter of fact, I would tell you that John Tong was here 37 years. And I told you about Glenn Young being the PA announcer for Kentucky Wesleyan. But truly, I wouldn't have done the PA thing if it hadn't been for Sean. Sean brought an energy and just electrified Freedom Hall and then the Yum Center. And it made me excited. I was like, man, if that is fun. And I want to do that, you know. And so that's, in a way, that's what got me going, to be that passionate and do that style. And so I didn't know him. And I met him a couple of different times, and we had very pleasant conversations, and he's always so kind. I initially didn't do his three call. I didn't want to do it because, first of all, it belonged to him. Second of all, I was scared to death of doing it because you don't get to practice that. I'd do the three call three, and then my voice cracks. What's going to happen?
People don't want that.
Laugh me out of the arena. So I stuck with what I had always done was, you know, for three, you know, and then kind of different variations of that depending on the excitement of the game and what timing that was. But when we, and I did that the first couple of years, when TBT came along at Freedom Hall, this is a little bit of a long story. I hope it's okay. Freedom Hall came along in 2023 with TBT. They had taken all the tiles out of the ceiling. So the sound was atrocious. I don't know if you ever went to any of those games, but you couldn't hear anything. It sounded like you were yelling into a tin can, and the reverb was just so bad. And so I did the second and third game that year. I didn't do the first one. Then they called me in and said, hey, man, you mind coming helping us out on this? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. But I knew it was still going to be bad. But I couldn't say a name and then say for three. It all just jarbled up. So I thought, well, what's the one thing that they can understand is if I yell three Siva, you know? And that's what I went to. And I thought, if it cracks, nobody's going to really know anyway, because the sound system was that bad, which they, by the way, they've added ceiling tiles now, and the sound was much better this year. much better. But that's where I started doing a three call, and I gained a little confidence. I was like, well, that wasn't so bad. And over the course of the first couple of years, Andrew, so many fans would tweet at me and say, you know, and I'd see comments out there of, we missed the three call, we missed Sean Moth, bring him back. And I'm like, I miss Sean Moth. You know, I mean, I do too, you know. But dude, I mean, this is what we're going to do. Well, after that, I called him up and I said, people want the three call back. It belongs to you. I don't want to be, you know, stealing your thunder or whatever. But I would like to kind of continue it because it's become part of the experience at the Yum Center and watching Louisville men's basketball. And he was extremely gracious and said, I don't own the rights to that. And there are high school announcers doing it all over the state. So absolutely, you have my blessings to do it. He was so kind and wonderful. So I said, okay, I'm going to start doing this from now on. And I did that. And I don't know if that's important to anybody, but I will tell you, a lot of people have reached out and said, thank you for bringing that back. We wanted that as part of the experience. And a lot of the criticism that I was receiving, and that's a high pressure deal, dude. I mean, when you got John Tong for 37 years, Sean Moth for 21 years, I mean, those are legends that covered almost six decades. To sit down and do those games and the pressure to deliver to the fans of, in my opinion, the greatest fan base in the entire country. And I'm a part of that. I'm a U of O graduate and been a fan since I was 15 years old. I knew the pressure, you know, and it's immense. It's incredible. But, you know, that out of that, you know, we've been able to develop a little bit of rapport, and the fans are starting to respond to my cues as well. And I'm having a ball doing it, man. And so that kind of alleviated a lot of the criticisms that I've had, Andrew, over the years. People wanted to hear that three call. And a little secret, I thought I was okay, but it certainly wasn't Sean Moth level yet and working on it. But I actually, this summer, I'm taking vocal lessons with a professional trainer out of the U of L music group to teach me how to use my diaphragm and save my voice. Because this team's going to hit a lot of damn threes, dude. And if they're hitting 12, 15 threes a game, I'm going to have to save my voice somehow, some way. And hitting the notes, one thing, but doing it repeatedly so that I don't get, you know, get hoarse throughout the year is another.
Yeah, that's incredible news to now we're getting it's 502 somewhere scoops here.
You heard it here first. Taking vocal, and literally, a lady named Katie Donner, she's a sweetheart, incredible soprano herself. And she's a professor at the School of Music over at U of L, and it's been gracious to work with me to help teach me how to do this. You know, I'm not going to be a singer. I'm not going to do that. But hopefully, it helps me be able to hold that three, you know, for a long time and be able to keep my voice healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible way of putting. I mean, the six decade long. It kind of mirrors Louisville basketball head coaches too. You had Denny Crum. Sure. Then you have Rick Pitino, and then it's like trying to find who's going to follow up. And I feel like you've done a fantastic job in an era where started off a little rockier for the team itself. You know, you began 2021 during a tumultuous time for the basketball program. You know, how are you able to keep that spirit up during such, I mean, historic lows at the time for the program for those few years?
I have a job to do, and so it's important that I disconnect the fandom. Believe me, internally, the F-bombs and the this is ridiculous. A lot of that stuff is going on in my head, but I have to be able to disconnect and compartmentalize and realize I have a job to do. And also, I guess I should have said this first. It's the holy grail of all announcing jobs. I mean, I mean this sincerely. Not that it would ever happen. But if NFL contacted me and said, Lance, we want you to do the Super Bowl, and it wasn't going to change my life from a financial standpoint, believe me, most PA announcers don't get rich off of what they're doing. A guy like Alan Roach, who does the Super Bowl, maybe he is, but I wouldn't fall into that category. But if they said that, but you have to give up the U of L men's basketball gig, I can assure you right now, hand on the Bible, I would not do it. I would never take another public address announcing job over U of L men's basketball ever. I can't imagine a scenario where that would happen. I don't care. Like, it is to me, it is the pinnacle. And so for me, Now, I wouldn't be the pinnacle for someone growing up in Paducah who's a UK fan. They you know, they might see Rupp Arena that way. But for me, being the U of L men's basketball announcer is the pinnacle. It's the highest of all heights. So I forget where I was going with all that, but you'd asked me following up all that time. I just, you know, I take it so it's so, I guess I treasure it so much. It's so precious. It's such a wonderful, it's kind of like it is, it's precious to me. And so I try to handle it with great care and want to do a great job and deliver that experience for the fans that they deserve. And also for the team. I mean, you know, try to fire them up. But going through those bad years, I mean, hell, it would have been ridiculous if I'd have been dialed up to a 10 when we're getting smoked by 20 points to DePaul or whatever. I mean, whatever it was. And so I had to use – I wanted to be there for the players and their families. And so I needed to be able to inject some enthusiasm to support them. But, there weren't a lot of opportunities to really – dial it up to a 10, dial it up to 11, yeah. You know, but certainly we had those last year and, you know, kind of one of those deals where you just rip off the rearview mirror and let's just look ahead. And that's what we had this past year with Chucky and that whole deal, Javon Hadley. It was a hell of a season, a lot of fun and many, many great memories from that season. And I think this coming year is going to be even better.
And I feel like even in your tenure so far, even in those lower moments for the team versus last year when Pat Kelsey's first year, I feel like you, as you mentioned, you brought it. And I think it's very evident as a fan at the games, you know, still going to games in 2022, 23, early 24. I still remember a lot of those moments because I feel like the announcing and just some of the moment. I remember there was like the last second dunk by JJ Traynor, like that first game of the year, either the first or it was either 2022 or 2023 in that. I can't remember.
Exactly it would have been in the second season because
second season. Yeah. Because we lost the first one. We lost to Bellarmine in the first game. Yeah. Yes. But well, I still remember that in that moment. So,
well, you know, you mentioned that, I mean, the crowd wasn't making a lot of noise and I don't blame them. I wouldn't have been either, but as the announcer on that microphone, it was kind of incumbent upon me to bring whatever energy was going to be. And at times when the fans had something to cheer, tough, you know, hard play, which wasn't often, and I don't want to dwell in all those years, but the fans brought everything that they could. And I thought at times the fans were amazing for being able to be there and do what they did. And again, just drive home the fact that it's the best fan base in the country. And they supported those players. They are Louisville Cardinals, and they weren't winning, and they wanted to win, but they just – the situation wasn't a good one. And so I would just tell you that, you know, that at times I felt like I needed to be able to bring that energy just to say to the fans, it's okay for us to be excited about this particular event or this moment. You know, it's okay.
And in these first year and a half of Pat Kelsey – obviously, the energy around the program has been somewhere I feel like I haven't seen in at least 7, 8, 9 years. What did it mean to you to see this, not only the fan base, but also the city rally behind the team? And how did it help you as an announcer as well?
Well, Pat Kelsey, I mean, he's just a bundle of energy, like unlike I think we've ever really seen before. I mean, we've never had anybody come in and changed the entire attitude of a fan base, the entire attitude of a city, just like that. He brought it. He obviously believes in himself and believes in his staff. How do you not feed off of that? I mean, the fans fed off of it. I fed off of it. Everybody in the U of L Cardinal family fed off of it. And so, and the team fed off of it. It all builds off of that. But he certainly ignited something that I think will continue for many years. I sure certainly hope so. He is a special, special human being. You know, one could break down his ability to in-game X's and O's and that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not that kind of expert. I'm not an analyst by any stretch of the imagination. But I have never met anyone in my life that just changed my attitude, changed my emotions in a positive way in a moment. All you got to do is just meet him for a second and you feel that way. And he works at it. He goes out, reaches out to the student body. He goes out to the city, and he does a lot of fun things that, you know, really have made people just fall in love with the guy. And he won. I mean, let's face it. At the end of the day, if you win, you can be kind of standoff, you know, whatever. But having the package that he has relative to the energy and just the whole force of nature that he is very special. And so it makes it easy for the fans to come in and get excited because they've got a product on the floor they can get excited about, and they don't get told silly things about how they should be fans when they know the game of basketball as well as anybody in the country, right? And so it's some of the things that they were told and heard were fairly absurd and insulting, frankly. And so to have someone come in and say, I value you as a program, I value you as a fan base in a way, and then proves it and then gives them a product to be excited about and delivers on the things that he said that he was going to do, pretty amazing. Pretty hard not to be just, and then this class that he's put together, this team.
Yeah.
I mean, we are now talking about preseason top 10, and some people are saying we're going to reside in the top 10 for the entire season. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not an analyst, but man, it sure is exciting to hear that kind of talk nationally, and I'm fired up for it.
Yeah, as I was saying, just kind of tells you a little bit about the leadership that he possesses, that he was able to transform the culture of the team overnight, and seeing that also be reflected in the fan base as well. Do you have a favorite moment that you can think of from this past season?
Yeah, Chucky's 6 threes in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Chucky's 6 threes in a row was special. I mean, that was insane. And of course, when he kissed the floor, that was awesome. Yeah, I don't want to just put it all on Chucky. There were so many great moments. I mean, Hadley stepped up in so many situations and is one of the unsung heroes of the year. I'm so thrilled that he came back because his leadership is going to be incredibly important to this team that they've assembled this year. I'm trying to think back, man. I mean, there were so many great ones, but certainly Chucky's 6 threes in a row was insane.
That game in general, too. I mean, I was so hesitant initially for the stripe. They're like the stripe out.
Yeah.
I was like, if this doesn't work, it's not going to look right. But it worked. It looked fantastic.
That was so, that game. I forget that. That was great. Man, that marketing team and the fan base pulled that off. Like, I have to say, I was one of the people when the marketing team announced that. I thought, ooh, I don't know. I don't know if our fans are ready. They could do it, but I didn't know if they were ready to jump in like that. And man, they sure did. It looked amazing, didn't it, Andrew?
It looked fantastic. And I think that leads into my last question before going to a little rapid-fire segment. The trust that the team really put into the fans, the city of Louisville, just the people that are going to the games, really putting their all into it. You know, what do you think sets not only the fan base of Louisville, but the city of Louisville apart from everywhere else to you?
I mean, the fact that, you know, we don't have we do have professional sports here. We have top-tier professional sports. Racing Louisville is the NWSL. There is no higher women's soccer league in the world. Louisville City is a professional soccer team. And, of course, the Bats are – we do have professional sports here, but not in the realm of the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL. And so without those entities, those leagues being here present in our city, U of L – and we're in our state, frankly. U of L and University of Kentucky down the road are like professional teams to us, you know. And so for this particular city, it is. It's the biggest deal in town. I mean, it's just so many people. The city itself downtown depends on success of men's basketball. And women's basketball as well helps, you know, it's incredible. But at the end of the day, we know where people's real, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, that people are passionate about women's basketball. They're passionate about volleyball, baseball, all of it, even football. But if you took a poll, I bet you the answer would be what's the most important to you, and it would be basketball. Basketball is king here in this state. So the reason it's so different here is it's what we have. Look at the arena that we have. It's like an NBA arena. Look at what it means to all walks of life in this city. No matter what part of town that you're from, what your what kind of economic status or whatever, you could be very, very wealthy in one part of town and not have a lot be, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Me, you know, we all come together to celebrate and cheer for this basketball team. And it brings our city together in a way that I remember in the 2013 National Championship. I mean, I had my kids at that time. We were at Dundee Tavern. We watched it at Dundee Tavern together here in the Highlands and jumped in the truck. And there was with a bunch of us. There was two couples and then all of our kids. And we rode down Bardstown Road and went down Broadway and all that. And the whole city was just on its ears. You know, it's like unbelievable cheering and celebrating. And it was so many different people. It was so fun and exciting to see. And so we need that. We need that energy in our city. And it does bring us together. And I think it's very important for the livelihood of downtown, to make it vibrant and all the things that it can be. And I think that, you know, we missed that for several years. And I think it was certainly detrimental to the just the entire experience of being downtown. But that's coming back. It's coming back in a big way.
Yeah. And I remember just earlier this year, kind of that same downtown experience, like just going downtown right before the Tennessee game last year. And I just remember the excitement that was building. And it was a noon game. Yeah. It was just people at 10 a.m. getting up, ready to go for the team, and just seeing that energy is really special.
Yeah.
So finally, we will go into a rapid fire segment, and then I'll get you out of here. Thank you so much, Lance, for joining the show again. This segment is called Crumbs Corner. So we'll go down a few rapid fire questions and then get you out of here.
All right. It's an honor. Thank you for asking me, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And then first question right off the bat, through all the athletes so far at U of L, you can also think back to soccer as well. Do you have an athlete's name that you just love saying? Because I remember when I was a kid, I love saying Three Palacios. I loved saying that when I was a kid. Do you have any name that really you were like, oh, this is rolling off the tongue?
Again, Chucky. So I didn't do Chucky Hepburn most of the time. A lot of times I would just say Chucky. And that was fun because the crowd really was into that. I'm thinking of back in the Louisville City days. I mean, it wasn't a special name, but man, he had so many goals and was so important to their success. It was Cam Lancaster. And so Lancaster, you know, that was always fun to do. I'm trying to think of any names that are just that were wild and fun to say. Nothing really comes to my mind, Andrew. I'm sorry, but the three Chucky, that doing a Chucky, that, you know, because I would do assists like that too. If Javon made one, it'd be Javon Hatley from Chucky. You know, I tried to do that quite a bit. And Terrence Edwards last year was Fat. So I would tell you that was fun to do too. I threw Fat in there from time to time. He said he liked it. So we did that from time to time. I took a little criticism about that, by the way. I know this is rapid fire, but there were folks saying, I mean, you shouldn't be using a nickname. It's too early for that. We don't know if we're ready to do it. I'm like, well, he's only going to be here a year. So we better get going quick, you know, and that's the way it's going to be from now on. They're not going to be here a long time. And so if you, you know, you're not going to have the 3 and 4 year players very often. So I looked at the names, you know, this year, there are going to be some fun ones to say. I mean, Wooly will be fun to say. Certainly, Fru. I mean, there'll be a lot of good ones. Mm. There are going to be a lot of fun names to say this year. So I don't know. Check back with me in another eight or 9 months and we'll see.
Yeah. I've been, names are rattling off my head already. Yeah. Segue, actually. What is your favorite restaurant in the city of Louisville?
Well, I mean, it's multi-tiered, but I would say the Cuban restaurant downtown, La Botaquita. I love that restaurant. I would say that's my favorite. If I only had one restaurant I could go to all the time, that would be it. There's a lot of good ones, but that's my favorite.
No, yeah. And then, you know, whenever people have asked that and they've just started listing, and that's completely fine as well.
I love Steak and Bourbon. I mean, I'm not going to eat there all the time. But the Botaquita, I would go to that. If I lived downtown, I'd be down there, you know, once a week if I could. I love that place, man. It's good.
Yeah. And not necessarily this doesn't have to be tied to PA announcing. What is one of your favorite calls in sports history? It could be maybe just nationally. You could think of a favorite call in Louisville history. Do you have any that come to mind for you?
Oh, golly. You put me on the spot here. You talking about like sports broadcasting?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was a little kid. I was 11 when the Miracle on Ice happened. So that was pretty special. Do you believe in miracles? That's one that anybody would think, and they say, I never really identified it that way, though. Like, if I said something that Glenn Young said, it wouldn't resonate with most of the audience because most of them never heard of him and don't know what that is, like Bunky Lewis, for an example. But if it go to John Tong, I thought it was really cool how he would do steps called. And so I brought that back in my first tryout game. I thought, this may be my only time to ever be on this mic. And I want people to remember John Tong. And so the opposing team traveled, and I said, steps called, and people ate that up. They did like that a lot. And so I still do that. I don't do steps called when the Cards travel. I do it when the other team, because I kind of celebrate. Steps called, Cardinal basketball. So I would say from that, John Tong doing steps called, that was cool. That was a smooth character, man. That guy was so good.
Yeah, from a broadcasting one for me, one recent one that I just loved is it was Louisville Notre Dame 2023. I think it was Jawar Jordan, whenever touchdown, and they go, I forgot who it was at ESPN, but they said, this place is going to rock. And I just, something about that stuck with me. I love that one.
Well, I just looked over at the TV and I'm watching baseball on my TV here. And it reminds me of Sean when he does grass track wall. That is cool. Yeah. I guess he came up with that. And it's awesome. Grass track wall. And that's an amazing call. Dude, that guy, he is so incredible and so talented in so many ways. Huge fan of Sean Moth. Grass track wall. Glad I thought of that one.
No, glad, that's a perfect one too. Do you have a football record prediction for U of L football this year?
Yeah, I've been on a conservative side. I'd say 9-3. I think a lot of it depends on the defense. This is going to be an offensive team. You know, it's going to be one of the most offensive teams we've ever had. It's going to be a lot of freaking fun. I think a lot of it does depend on the defense. We've had some changes there as far as players. And I know that, you know, their expectations are that things have got to improve. We just had a couple games where we really weren't where we should have been last year. I think anybody could identify that. Part of it was a communication system. I think that really was wreaking havoc at times for them early on. Then I think they went away from that. So hopefully they've been able to work on that and get that, whatever that system is, improve that a lot, because we can't afford. I mean, this could potentially be a very special year. So if you want to go, hey, what if we caught Miami at a bad time, and then we're going to have Clemson at home this year, and we kicked their asses last year, we can beat them. You know, SMU is going to be a tough one on the road, but I could see a world where after regular season, we're 11-1, but I'm not going to be bold enough to predict that. I'm going to say we've got a pretty tough schedule. Pitt's going to be pretty good this year, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a sneaky, tough schedule. Because, like, even the road games at Virginia Tech in that environment with Enter Sandman, even if they're not as good, that's still a tough place to play.
They're not going to lay down and die.
No.
What about James Madison? Let me ask you this.
That's a dangerous one to me.
You're sleepwalking on that one.
Yeah.
It could be. It really could.
That one, I was nervous about. They played him a few years ago, I think, and I was a little nervous about it. And it was close up until like a breakaway touchdown, and then eventually put some cushion. But that's the one, because it might be on a Friday night.
Friday night,
and that makes it way more nervous for me.
Yeah, our fans are going to be ready for that one, I hope.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they don't sleepwalk on that one. If they play their A game, so that's the question, right? Are they going to play at their A game, both offensively and defensively, throughout the entire season? They could be 11-1, but that's a big if, man. And it's a tough road to haul. So if you ask me, if you made me bet money on it, I'd say 9-3. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm about there. I think it'll kind of be like last year, hopefully with not as low of a low as Stanford. I think we'll win a couple games we're not supposed to. I think if Miami's top 15, I could see us going there and winning. I could see us beating Clemson. I could see us also losing one of those games, like we mentioned, like at Pitt, or maybe at like a home game at, you know, LNN that we're just overlooking a little bit. I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but I'm very excited for this team, because like the ceiling is so high. And it feels like we are in the best possible position that we have been in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. The ceiling's high, but they've got to execute. They have to do it.
Yeah. So
it's got to go win the games, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And then final question for you. We talked about, you know, public speaking. For anybody that might have that initial fear of getting in front of an audience, what would you say is something that has helped you along your journey?
Just doing it and preparation. I mean, the preparation, I spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours the night before every game, just prepping and making the rosters exactly as I need them, so that because I don't get the starting lineups until like 10 minutes before the game. And there's a lot going on, a lot of promotional reads that I have to do. And so I have it all set up so that I can just take a highlighter and highlight the starters. And then I have my rosters written where I track my fouls. But just have a system. If you get organized and you prep and you have a system, then it'll help go a long, long way. Because if you don't, and like I've seen PA announcers before announcing basketball, for an example, that had the names in alphabetical order. Well, that doesn't help you much if you don't know the other team's names. You need them in numerical order, right? So these little things that a lot of times people wouldn't think about, but that helps to make it smooth in your delivery. You can't be there looking up and down the line for the number, you know? Yeah. And so so there are a lot of little things like that, but certainly the preparation helps to put you in a position to where you can do it. And of course you're going to be nervous, but if you have any sort of promotional reads, if you're doing it for like a middle school or a high school and they've got, you know, concession stand reads or whatever, read that the night before 5 or 10 times. You know, I read through the script. I've read every one of these promotional reads often 50 times out loud. And I read them every night. I go through the entire script. You know, now there'll be certain things that aren't in there that change. I mean, there's certain things that change from game to game, but then I get there an hour and a half early and spend 30, 45 minutes going through the script, the fresh script, making sure that I have everything exactly as I need it. And fortunately it works out for me pretty well. And if I feel very comfortable with the material and I'm not looking at it for the first time and it's a system that I'm used to and all that, then I can kind of shrug off some of the nerves, but definitely you've got to prepare. If you can't just go into it, just kind of going to do it off your hip, shooting from the hip, you're not going to be thorough and you're not going to be fluent. And any kind of delay like that will only create more stress in yourself. And then you want it to be more nervous. So that's what I would say. Preparation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Preparation, very important. Anything, but especially when you're presenting to an audience. Lance, I want to thank you so much for joining the show, giving me all the time. We're almost at an hour. I'm sorry about taking so much of your time.
Hopefully people enjoy listening to it, yeah.
But this has been awesome hearing about your journey, you know, before you got into broadcasting, your journey at Lou FC, your journey at St. Francis of Assisi, to now being at, you know, the Mecca, as you said it, of jobs, and how lucky you've been and how gracious and how great at your job you have been at, as the Louisville men's basketball PA announcer. So thank you so much, Lance, for joining, and really appreciate you.
Well, thank you, man. Andrew, I appreciate the kind words. It means a lot to me. And again, I just want the fans to have a great experience, and that's what I try to deliver. It's not the biggest component. Now, they're not there to hear me. They're there to see the basketball game. But if I can deliver the information in a way and kind of create some excitement and help work back and forth with them, we're all in it, man. We want to push these cards to a championship, and that's great. So I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
And we're getting there. We will be getting there. I don't know what year, but we're all pushing there.
We're on our way
for the national title.
We're on our way.
So thank you guys once again for listening, and just remember, it's 502 somewhere. I'll check you later, guys.